16th January 1992 We have explained you the four kinds of earth purification. The first one is purification of moral conduct, virtue, sila visuddhi. The second, purification of mind, citta visuddhi. The third, purification of view, ditti visuddhi. The fourth, purification by an overcoming doubt. When you have fully observed the precepts, your deed and speech, our moral conduct is purified. So you have purification of moral conduct. When the concentration on the object of meditation is gotten up, then the mind is purified from hindrances and mental defilements. So you attained purification of a mind. When you realize conditionality or cause and effect of a body-mind process, you have purification by overcoming doubt. purification by overcoming doubt is called Kankha Vitrana Visuddhi in Pali. Kankha is a doubt. Vitrana is overcoming. Visuddhi is purification. So Kankha Vitrana Visuddhi means purification by overcoming doubt. This purification, the fourth purification, can be attained through Paccayaprajñāna, the insight knowledge, which discerns the conditionality or cause and effect. We have explained it to a large extent. There we explained the Four Noble Truths and the Noble Eightfold Paths, Part 2. Then, after a meditator has attained the insight knowledge that discerns the conditionality or cause and effect of bodily and mental phenomena, he proceeds with his practice. When he has realized the conditionality or the cause and effect of body-mind process, his concentration is good, deep enough. When he practices meditation ardently and diligently, concentration becomes deeper and deeper. Then he comes to realize bodily and mental phenomena, and three characteristics. That is anicca, dukkha, and anatta, impermanence, suffering, and impersonal nature, or egolessness. Then you begin to realize appearance and disappearance of a mental phenomena, a physical phenomena, for a period of a time, say 30 seconds or 1 minute or 2 minutes in the previous stage of inside knowledge, such as the inside knowledge that discerns nama and rupa, and inside knowledge that discerns conditionality. But in those stages, your insight is not so clear, not so sharp. But when the deeper concentration, you come to realize the arising and passing away of mental process which is observed, and the physical process which is observed. For example, when you observe rise and fall of the abdomen, you very clearly realize at the very beginning of a rising movement, the middle and the end of it, very clearly. After the rising movement has disappeared, then you come to realize the very beginning of a falling movement, and the middle of it, and the end of it. In this way, you realize initial, middle, and final phases of a rising movement and falling movement very clearly. After the falling rising movement has disappeared, you realize it very clearly. It has gone. Immediately after it has disappeared, the falling movement begin to arise. You realize it's a beginning, and then the middle, and then the final stage of a right falling movement. When the falling movement has disappeared, you very clearly see it. Sometimes, after falling movement has disappeared, you find a gap, a small gap, before the rising movement, before you do not note rising movement, there's a gap between falling movement and rising movement. Because you clearly realize the apparent disappearance of the falling movement, so you find the gap. If you do not realize the disappearance of a falling movement very clearly, you don't find the gap before the noting of a rising movement. So here you find the gap, because you have thoroughly realized the disappearance of the falling movement. Then you come to judge rising movement is also arises and then passes away. The falling movement also rises and passes away. They appear and very instantly disappear. So you can judge they are impermanent. They are transient. Then this is the insight knowledge that comprehends impermanency of physical process. In the same way, you come to realize that no time, when the rising movement, when you find a rising movement, you note to observe it rising from the very beginning to end. Then the mind knows it rising, but with the deeper concentration, the mind, not a single note in mind, notes the rising movement from the very beginning to end. The mind has two notes, rising, 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 and so on. It repeatedly notes, observes the rising movement, one rising movement. Then you come to know, you have to know the rising movement from the very beginning to end three times or four times. It means one note in mind knows the beginning and then passes away. Then another note in mind begins to know, another note in mind knows the middle part of the rising. Then it passes away. Then another note in mind knows the final parts of the rising movement and it passes away. In this way, you clearly realize that there are three note in mind knowing the object of a rising movement one after another. One after another means that one note in mind arises, then passes away, then another note in mind arises and passes away. In this way, you come to realize the impermanency of the note in mind, which is a mental process. Then here, what it means. Meditator clearly comprehends all the initial, middle, and final stages of arising movement and its disappearance, and also all the note in mind which is arising and passing away. So here he sees anicca impermanence. In the same way, he realizes the movement of the foot, the lifting, pushing, dropping, touching, pressing movement. Every movement arises and passes away. It means that he sees the effeminacy of the movement of lifting, pushing, dropping, and touching sensation, and also pressing movement. Then, if he notes the thinking mind, because its concentration is deep enough, not long after the thoughts arising, he knows the thought and note it, then the thought has disappeared in a short time, as very instantly. After the thought has disappeared, he returns to the primary object, rising, falling, or sitting, touching. noting them. Whenever the thought arises, not long after its arising, he is aware that there is a thought, then he notes and notes it, thinking, thinking, thinking. About three or four times of noting, the thought has disappeared. In this way, thinking mind, the thought process is also subject to impermanence, the arising they are rising and passing away. When you are observing the thought, you come to realize that sometimes when you are about to note the thought, because you know it, but the thought has disappeared. Sometimes you are surprised at the quick disappearance of the thought itself. It means that you clearly realize this passing away of the thought, impermanency of the thought. This is an anicca impermanence. Then, when you observe the painful sensation, you are noting mind becomes more and more concentrated, on the painful sensation. You persistently and perseveringly note it. Then, the more effort you make in the noting, the deeper noting mindset gets into the pain. Then you do not feel feel painful sensation, but you know there's a pain, unpleasant sensation. The pain is not connected with you. The pain is far from you, or the pain is a separate one from your body or yourself. Sometimes when the pain becomes severe, your mind, noting mind, also deeply concentrated into it, you lost the sense of your bodily form, sometimes the sense of yourself. What you are realizing at that moment is an unpleasant feeling of the painful sensation. Sometimes you feel, you realize the appearance and disappearance of the pain as the waves of the sea, like the wisps of the sea. One wave arises and then passes away or dispersed. Then another way arises and then dispersed. Then another way arises and then dissipates. In this way, you see the waves of a painful sensation arising and passing away one after another. Sometimes you see it as a layer by layer, one layer after another, rises and passes away. Here also, you see the painful sensation which has the unpleasantness, the nature of unpleasantness. Then whenever you realize waves of painful sensation, you come to judge the pain is not permanent. It also arises and passes away. Even inside the pain, and the nature of the pain is also not permanent, arising and passing away. You come to realize it. When your concentration very deep into the painful sensation, then you can stand it because you don't feel painful. Because the painful sensation is a separate one from your bodily form or from yours, person. So you don't identify the pain with yourself. The pain is a something which is separate from you. Then you know the pain as just pain, the pain as an unpleasant sensation, the pain as a suffering, the pain as a dukkha. And also, this dukkha, the pain itself is also arising and passing away, so it's impermanent in dukkha. But occasionally, when you put your effort in the noting mind, which appears into the center of the pain, then the pain becomes gradually disintegrated and dispersed. Here also you come to realize the impermanence of the painful sensation. In substantiality of the painful sensation, you didn't find any solidity or substantiality in the painful sensation. What you are finding is a disintegrating of the feeling or sensation which is unpleasant. So sometimes when you are noting mind penetrates into the pain, then the pain becomes a bubble. You find it as a bubble of water, because what you are realizing, finding in the pain itself is just many tiny particles of the materiality, the disorderly composed in the pain. But actually, this material compound is not the pain itself. It produces the painful sensation. But when we penetrate into the inner nature of the pain, you come to realize the way the painful sensation as bubble and so on. Sometimes it explodes when, say, a drop of water falls on the bubble, the bubble has disintegrated. In this way you come to see the pain. Then you see the pain is impermanent, a nature. So the Buddha said, when a meditator's concentration is very deep, he realizes the rupakhanda, aggregates of materiality. It means a material process. Material process as a sponge. I doubtful my pronunciation of this word, sponge, you know. What's a sponge? And water. When you find any coal in the sponge, could you find it? Any essence? Could you find it? No. Yes, the Buddha said, in this way, this mental, material process, if you find it, there is nothing in it. What you find is just arising and passing away. Sankhata dhamma, arising and passing away. Whenever you see any physical process, rising movement, falling movement, the lifting movement, pushing movement, and lift, bending or stretching of the arm and so on, whatever physical process you observe, what you find is just rising and passing away. Nothing is substantial and nothing is essence. So it's like a sponge. Then, vedana khana, aggregate of vedana, aggregate of feeling or sensation such as pain, aching, stiffening, happiness, unhappiness, and so on. These feelings, sensations are like a bubble of water. Because when you see it with your the mindful attention, then you see it disintegrating and also dispersing and disappearing, exploding. When you drop some stone onto the water, then there's a bubble, but very instantly it dispersed and disintegrated. In that way, this painful sensation, this sensation, feeling or sensation with a nekhanda, aggregate of a feeling or sensation, also doesn't last even a millionth of a second. It then arises and then very instantly passes away. The same with the feeling of the happy feeling, unhappy feeling, and so on. Every pleasant sensation, unpleasant sensation, neutral sensation are arising and passing away. So they are like bubbles. Then there's another aggregate of a perception. We call it a sanyakhanda. We call it a sanyakhanda. But most of Pali scholars who has a comment of English translate this sanyakhanda into perception. But actually, here sanya means the mental state that memorize or recognize the object repeatedly. That's sanya. This is sanya is called sanyakhanda, aggregate of a sanya. So it's translated into perception. I think it's not good. This translation is not good, I think. Let it be. That sanya, recognizing or memorizing the object, that mental state, it's like a mirage, the Buddha said. I don't know my pronunciation is good. Mirage. What's there? Eh? Eh? A dreamer. When you can see this mirage? Not in the sky, above the earth. Above the earth. When the sun is very hot. The sun is very hot. Very shaking. Eh? That's a mirage. And there's a Burmese saying. A deer is a about at the very distance it sees the water. So he is thirsty, then he runs to the place where he thinks the water. But after he has reached that place, there's nothing.
What's that? Mirage. He thought it thinks mirage as water. Because when you see it from very far away, you have to think it to be a water, to be water. So, the Bami saying, the deer, yes, deer with the with the illusion or hallucination. What shall I use? It's a hallucinal illusion. By themselves. This is so, he thinks it's not as it is. So, illusion. Yes. Sometimes I doubt about the senses of the three words. Illusion, hallucination, delusion. So I want to ask the meaning of this. Very confused for me. Yes, let it be. Illusion, with the illusion of a mirage. He runs to the place where he thinks there is water, then he doesn't find anything. So, yeah, living beings thinks this mental and physical phenomena as a substantial thing, which is everlasting and permanent. Then, if he find out by being mindful of it, then he doesn't find anything substantial or the essence. What he finds is the arising and passing away of all mental and physical phenomena. So, you are like a deer. That's what Bami is saying, said. You are like a deer. Not only you, but also I. So, this is Sanya, Sanya Khana. The Greek idea of a perception is like a mirage. That's what Buddha said. Then, another one, Sankhara Khanda, aggregate of mental formations. Aggregate of mental formation. Except sensation, perception, and consciousness, all mental processes are called mental formations, aggregate of mental formation. Except sensation, perception, and consciousness, all mental states are called Sankhara Khana, aggregate of mental formations. It includes mindfulness, concentration, insight, wisdom, and all these mental states are included in the aggregate of mental formations. So, an aggregate of mental formations, they are 50 types of mental state. 50 types of mental states are included in the aggregate of mental formations. Do you want to know these 50 mental states? Yes. Later, when I teach Abhidhamma, you'll know it. Yes, in 50, desire is included. Craving, lust, greed, hatred, aversion, jealousy, sloth and torpor, sluggishness, mental sluggishness, distractions and remorse, and so on. All these mental states are included in the aggregate of mental formations. So when you observe rise and fall, there's mental formation, mindfulness. And when the mind is concentrated on the movement of the Brahma, there's mental formation, samadhi. And so there are 50 mental states in the aggregate of mental formation. So you should know just a figure, number. Huh? Then the Buddha said, this Sankharakana mental formation is like a trunk of a banana planting. The trunk of a plantain, banana. You know banana. Have you seen the fruit of banana? Yes. When you cut the trunk of the banana and then you peel it one after another. Could I use this for peel? Yeah? Peel it one layer after another to find the substantial thing which is used, which can be used for a building or furniture. Huh? Then take out one layer. No, you didn't find. You do not find it. Then take out another layer. You do not find it. Yes, please go on. You will find inside, in the most part of the trunk. Yeah? Then take off another layer, take off another layer, take off another layer. Then finish. Do you find it? No. So, when you peel these 50 mental states one after another, you cannot find any substantiality in essence. This is what Buddha said. So, this is Sankharakana aggregates of a formation is like a what? The trunk of a banana. Good, huh? Simile is very good. The simile is very good. Then the last one, Vijnanakana, aggregate of consciousness. Aggregate of consciousness. Aggregate of consciousness is like I cannot find this word. The art of a juggler. Eh? Out of the juggler. Huh? Conjurer. Conjurer, yes. Conjurer. Because the consciousness deceives you. As a conjurer deceives you. How? You think you have a mind. Yes. Do you think you have mind? Then when you know to thinking with the deeper concentration, then it just disappear. You didn't find any thinking mind. Eh? But you think you are thinking, or I am thinking. This is the person who is thinking. Could you find? So in that way, the consciousness deceives you. So it's like a conjurer. C-O-N-J-U-R-E, I think. Huh? Huh? Correct. I mean correct. Conjurer. Yes. I got one word. I study from you. You study from me. So, all these five aggregates are suffering, impermanent, unsubstantial, impersonal suffering. The Buddha said, what is impermanent is suffering. What is impermanent is suffering. Do you agree with the Buddha? Not with me. Yadanejyam tam dukkham, Pali. Yadanejyam tam dukkham. That means, what's the impermanence is it suffering? What's the impermanence suffering is impersonal, selflessness, egolessness, soullessness. Because these five aggregates are impermanent, they are suffering. That's why I have also told you when I explained the meaning of dukkha, suffering, I explained you the dukkha has the nature of being constantly oppressed by arising and passing away. That's what the Buddha said. What is impermanent is suffering. Then, these five aggregates are suffering, so they are not personal. They are impersonal. They are neither ego, nor a soul, or not a self. So then you come to realize, you come to comprehend all these three characteristics, impermanence, suffering, and impersonal nature of Bodhimagga process. Then, let me make you remember these five aggregates. Could you remember? What are they? Do you remember? Yes. Please repeat me. Repeat after me. Rupakanda. Vedanakanda. Sanyakanda. Rupakanda. Vedanakanda. Sanyakanda, Rupakanda, Vedanakanda, Sanyakanda. Please repeat. Three times. Khanda means aggregate. Rupa means materiality, a material process, material phenomena. So, Rupa Khanda means aggregate of materiality, or material phenomena. Vedana Khanda means aggregate of a feeling or sensation. It means just a feeling and sensation, that's all. Aggregate of a feeling or sensation. Sanyakana means aggregate of a perception. Sanyakana means what? Aggregate of perception. Then, what is the Rupakana? Materiality. Vedanakana? Sanyakana? Perception. Aggregate of a perception. There are five aggregates in the teaching of the Buddha. Then, Sankharakanda. Sankharakanda. Vijnana Khanda, Sankhara Khanda, Vijnana Khanda, Sankhara Khanda, Vijnana Khanda. Yes, please. Sankhara Khanda means the aggregate of mental formations. Aggregate of mental formations. Except sensation, perception, and consciousness. All mental states, emotional states are included in the aggregate of mental formations. Vijnana Khanda means the aggregate of consciousness. Vijnana Khanda means the aggregate of consciousness. Then altogether five. Yes, then once more. Twice more. What is Rupa Khanda? Materiality. What is Vedana Khanda? What is Sanya Khanda? What is Sankara Khanda? What is Vijnana Khanda? Then the Buddha, yes, give us five similes for these five aggregates. You remember, I need not tell you. Eh? What is the simile of materiality? Sponge. Then what is the simile of sensation? Bubble. What is the simile of Sanya Khanda? Sanya Khanda? Perception? Perception is not like banana. What's that? Mirage. Mirage. Then, what's the simile of a Sankara Khanda? Banana fruit. Banana trunk, not fruit. Plante. Banana trunk. Banana, you say banana is enough. Then it is, you may take it to be fruit. So, banana trunk. Then, what is the simile of us? Vijnana Khanda? Kanjua. Then, you know, when you are mindful of whatever arises in your body and mind, when your concentrations are deep enough, you find these things, as the Buddha said, like sponge, like bubbles, like mirage, like banana trunk, like conjure. Then, what's the very distant to the meditator's mind is this sensation, vedana, Vedana Khana is very much distant. It's like a bubble. So try to penetrate into the center of the painful sensation with a very sharp mindfulness, noting. Then it's sure you find there bubbles, sensations. Then when you have when you comprehend all these three characteristics, impermanency of materiality, says mental physical process, then impermanency of a feeling or sensation, impermanency of a perception, impermanency of mental formations and consciousness, then you comprehend another two aspects, two characteristics too, because what is the impermanent is suffering. What's the impermanent and suffering is impersonal nature. You know anicca, dukkha, anatta. Three characteristics of the existence. Existence. So when you clearly comprehend or clearly realize, fully aware of these three characteristics of a mental and physical phenomena which are observed at the moment, it's called you have attained the insight knowledge that clearly comprehend, a clear comprehension of a mental and physical phenomena. It's called sammasana jnana in Pali. Sammasana jnana. Sammasana jnana. The insight knowledge of a clear comprehension. Then in this stage of jnana, you have a great deal of pain. But when your concentration is deep enough, you don't feel painful sensation very much, because you know the pain separate from you. You do not identify the pain with your person or with yourself. So you see it very sometimes distant from your personal your person or body. Sometimes you feel this pain about 3 feet from yours. Then could you identify it with you? No, because the pain is there. Yes, you. Then the pain is neither you nor the person nor the being. You realize it when your concentration is deep enough. Then to have a deep concentration, what should you do? Huh? Make what? To have a deep concentration, you need continuous mindfulness. Huh? Incessant mindfulness. Could I use this word? Incessant mindfulness. Sustained mindfulness. Sustained mindfulness. I mean learning these words from you. Yes. Giving you and taking from you. So you need sustained mindfulness. To have a sustained mindfulness, you need, as Elder say, strenuous effort. Strenuous effort. Could I use here the word undaunted effort? Could you use undaunted? undoing or don'ted. Make about it. Undaunt.
Yes. Then, could I use this one? Very good.
Make it better.
Huh? Courageous effort. Yes, a courageous effort. But I want to use the undaunted. Discouraging. Discouraging. So, you need undaunted effort to have the sustained mindfulness, which is the cause of a deep concentration, which can support the note in mind to penetrate into the center of the painful sensation. The time's up. Time's up. So, may all of you put some more effort, which is courageous and undaunted, and end your practice and achieve your goals.